The search for your family's history can be a pleasant pastime or something bordering on an obsession. So it's not surprising that genealogy is often ranked as the number one hobby in the United States. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lori Bessler is the reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society, and she teaches genealogy workshops to help folks piece together their family histories, and she's with me in the studio. And Lori, thanks a lot for coming by today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I love to talk about this stuff, so it's great.
Oh, well, we're talking researching your family history with her today, and I hope you'll join in. Maybe you're doing a little of that now. Maybe you wish you could get going on it. Maybe you have some questions about finding that hard-to-locate relative. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And, Laura, you meet a lot of genealogists, I'm sure. What are some of the motivations that people have to research their family histories?
Oh, it's interesting. A lot of people come in for a variety of reasons. You know, lately, a lot more people are looking at their medical history. And so that's a big part of it, is finding out those medical historical facts about your family to see how things have worked in the past and what things may have come down through hereditary issues. Other people, it's to come in and solve a big question about this big story that they've heard for years and years in their family, and they want to verify it. Other people like the hunt. It doesn't even have to be their family. There was a lady in the other day who was helping a person who actually is in prison and can't get to a lot of resources. And so she's helping that person from a distance and trying to find out that person's story. So it's been very interesting with all of the different people I meet every day. It's a joy to go into work.
And I imagine there are a few people that said, oh, my great-great-great-grandfather once owned Manhattan or something.
Yeah, we do get those kinds of stories. You know, we get a lot of, they start out really big, and then we walk them through the steps, and sometimes they are really big, and sometimes not so much.
Oh, boy.
But I think everybody's story is big. That's the biggest thing that I try and get across to people is, you know, everybody's families have interesting stories about them. It's seeking them out.
Yep, absolutely. Mike in Greenfield has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. My great-grandmother, and I don't know how true this is, was rumored murdered. And so my grandmother was an orphan. All I know for a fact is that my grandmother was at the Home for Dependent Children here in Milwaukee, and my great-uncle came and got her and took her back home. And my great-grandmother disappeared. I've tried finding her through, like, records at Milwaukee Courthouse, and I've even tried finding her grave because my great-grandfather was in an unmarked grave, so I thought maybe she was there. But I don't know. Maybe that's just a story, but she is somewhere.
Well, there's bound to be a good paper trail somewhere. It's just, where is that paper trail located?
Yeah.
And part of it, Mike, is that, you know, when we get questions like that, there's a lot of questions we have to send back to you for more details on names and dates and places and all of that. So had you looked at courthouse records?
Yeah, I did, you know, ask about the time she disappeared but they had asked, they told me they couldn't look up records because they need the name of the person who committed the murder. Well, that doesn't help me at all. But
do you know when the murder occurred?
I'm thinking 1893, because that's when the payment stopped. They were getting money for her at the home. And then I don't know why, you know, that the story is that she was murdered, but she did disappear.
Okay. You know, something that always to consider is access to these records can be kind of questionable. You know, right away, I would guess that some of these courthouse records could have been filmed by the Latter-day Saints, in which case you can borrow the courthouse records from them and actually go through them yourself. It is kind of a needle in a haystack way to do it. But I would encourage you actually to send us an email with those specifics in it so that I can discuss it with other people on our staff and we can kind of brainstorm on what other types of the paper trail are out there. Newspaper clippings that may give information. It happened in Milwaukee, is that right?
Well, I don't even know that because I couldn't find the records here. They didn't have proof of her dying, you know, in the
Milwaukee. Yeah.
Well, I would say, like I said, email asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org.
Library?
Yeah.
Okay.
At wisconsinhistory.org. And what I would do is when you pose or compose this email, make sure that you put information in a timeline kind of structure because that's a lot easier for us to follow and you know, have ideas as to where is the paper trail to cover the information you're providing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good luck, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Robert in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Robert.
Well, good morning. As you said, I'm Robert in Milwaukee, and I'm just offering a little word of caution for people who might use tools like Ancestry.com, which I found very useful and very powerful. However, I had the experience of finding a member of my family who initially appeared to have a lot of really good resources about our genealogy information. I added this person to my Ancestry.com account as an editor, and I was really impressed for a while, so much so that I stopped looking at the notifications. And about 2 weeks later, I discovered that they'd added everyone from King Richard to Cleopatra into our database.
Yeah.
And it's been a challenge to kind of undo some of that because it turned out to be hundreds and hundreds of more people than we actually had accurate information for.
Definitely. I teach 3-hour classes on Ancestry to teach people how to use that wonderful, massive tool. And so, yes, that's definitely one of them is you can't go in and accept all of those leaves and believe that those are definitely your right people. And it's very important if they are people who are aiming towards someone who's famous to stay with your direct line and see if it connects at a time, but never to take someone famous and try and glob them onto your tree. But yes, that's it. And you know what? As I've done that with Ancestry as well, and I've had to undo some of that as well. So it is.
Be thoughtful about who you allow to edit.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Be very cautious.
Well, let's talk about some of the most basic. What are the good resources that people can use to piece together family history?
You know what? There's so many tools that people should be using. It's not, you know, choose these 5 and don't worry about the other 15. Mm-hmm. It's that the online sources are Ancestry.com and FamilySearch, Wisconsin Historical Society's website as well. There are a lot of materials out there that are getting digitized, but I want people to understand not all of it is getting done. And so if you stay with whatever is only on Ancestry, or even if you've branched out to FamilySearch.org, which is the website for Latter-day Saints, then you're missing out on so many materials that will fill in the stories of your family, not just, you know, names, dates, and places, but what they actually did in their lives. And so there's a lot of materials that are still not online. Like I said, Ancestry.com, FamilySearch.org, Wisconsin Historical Society's website for direction on where to find more materials.
And Steve in Sun Prairie, we are on to you now. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Good to be with you. It's a nice snowy day out here.
Hey, it is here, too.
Yeah, we're close. But I've got a question. My family history, my paternal side, most of the relatives came through the port at Manitowoc. Mm. Do they keep any records, or does the Historical Society have records of landing at that port?
Not really, no. The Great Lakes ports did not have great passenger lists like New York City or Philadelphia, those bigger ports. And so those don't survive. What you do have as an option, though, is to look at newspapers for the time period your person came in to see if they have notification of that certain ship coming in. Because newspapers went ahead and reported those kinds of things, no matter what size port it is.
All I have to do is figure out what the ship is.
Yeah, well, one part of the story for the immigrant is if they became a citizen. And so there's naturalization records out there to be found as well. And if you need help finding those, just contact our staff.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so we can help you identify where are those located. They're at different places in Wisconsin. So we definitely can help you with that. Again, emailing us that kind of question at asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org.
Well, thank you. It was very good.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And we even have a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. So if you didn't get that down, you can always click there, and you will find out how to get to Lori and others over at the Society. Tim in East Dubuque. Ooh, hold on a second. Tim, I will get to you in a minute. Next, we're going to go to Ken in Milwaukee next. Hi, Ken.
Good morning. Say, I wanted to just offer something to the gentleman who called about a death in the family and he wasn't sure where it happened. If it did happen to occur in Milwaukee County, the Milwaukee County Historical Society has coroner inquest records, if there might have been an inquest, and they're from 1873 to 1963, and they're, you know, fully alphabetized, the name index, and they have the death certificates and inquest testimony if it happened to occur in Milwaukee County.
Oh, that's great.
That is really, really great. Yeah, I've used coroner records as well, and they're just fascinating records. So, yes.
And one other thing I wanted to offer and kind of put a plug in for Milwaukee, I'm associated with the Milwaukee County Genealogical Society, and we're having a workshop on Saturday, April 20th at CERB Memorial Hall. And if anybody is interested in coming and listening to our speakers, they can access a registration form on milwaukeegenealogy.org and link to the workshop and find out who we're going to have there. And there is a modest fee for that because some of the speakers do charge in that, so they have to cover their expenses. But anyways, I just wanted to kind of put a plug in for Milwaukee and was hoping I could get a hold of Lori and see if we could get a table from State Historical Society at our event, but I'll do that through email.
That sounds great. We'd love the opportunity.
Thanks, Ken.
I appreciate the time now. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you for calling. Now we better turn to Tim in East Dubuque. Hi, Tim.
Hey, can you hear me okay? I'm traveling.
Yep, we can.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to encourage everybody to get out there and really look, because my relatives, in fact, did found New York City, but it was New Amsterdam. They were the Von Knickerbockers, and we didn't know about this until we had done some family research, and the Von Knickerbocker family in upstate New York actually contacted my grandmother, who was a Knickerbocker. And we went out to New York City, and we got to tour the whole city on the city, and we just had this really incredible time before she died, and it was remarkable. So I just really encourage you, because you may be famous. We have General Sickles from the Civil War, who actually was the first person to get off for temporary insanity in Washington, D.C., because he killed the son of the person who created our national anthem, Scott Keyes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's just, not that that's a wonderful thing or anything, but you just find out incredible stories, you know, that you really are connected to history. And I just think it's really important that reinvigorates how we feel about history
general. Oh, that's great, Tim. So the New York Knicks... You know, I often wondered about Knickerbockers, and I assumed it had a relevance to clothing somehow, but it's the family name.
It is, and it's because they owned the banks and the clothing industry. I mean, it was a very, very wealthy family. And, of course, then they owned the New York Knicks at some point. So they don't, of course, now, but that's where that whole thing came from. And, you know, and then Washington Irving was best friends to these Knickerbockers. He wrote the Sleepy Hollow books in their children's room.
Oh wow!
So you get connected in a way that you just never think you would until you start
doing
the genealogy, and then you find people are connected to people who are connected to. It just opens an incredible journey.
It is. That's the perfect word for it. It really is a journey. Once you start, it's really hard to stop, but the whole way is very, very wonderful.
Tim, great story. Thank you so much for sharing it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Great story, wasn't it? And right here, I brought up Manhattan sort of as a joke, and here we have somebody whose family actually did own it.
That's right.
Lori Bessler, reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society. Our guest, I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. talking genealogy today and having a lot of fun with Lori Bessler of the Wisconsin Historical Society. This is the Wisconsin Historical Society is one of the great places to go, isn't it, Lori?
It is. It's one of the top five genealogical collections in the country. So it's not just Wisconsin people that we're researching. It's all of North America. So we can help you whether they're from Louisiana or Saskatchewan, which, by the way, in our family is related to both of those areas.
Well, I like Saskatchewan.
My father-in-law is begging all of us to go up there. So it's from his family.
It's a pretty cool place. Therese in Fort Atkinson, your turn. Hi, Therese.
Hi. I have an interesting family mystery here that I've been trying to unravel a little bit. My great-great-grandfather had been in the state legislature in the 1860s and 70s, and he was appointed to a commission. I've got his Blue Book biography here, and the very last sentence says that he was appointed by Governor Washburn to visiting commission in 1873. I have not been able to find anything out about the visiting commission.
Ah. Okay, well, you know, one of the best things about the Wisconsin Historical Society is the amount of reference librarians that we have with such specialties. So we do have a GovDocs librarian who might be able to give more information on how you track down these commissions and where's the paper trail on that. So I would say when you send an email to Ask Library, by the way, I'm the one who initially answers it, and then I send it to one of the people on our staff who would be more of a specialist in these different areas. So.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's just been something that with the craziness and the state politics going on last year kind of prompted me to try to look into this a little bit further. And
well, your person probably served with my great-great-great-uncle. It was in the legislature at that same time. So,
that's interesting. I'll have to check this out.
There you go.
All right, thanks, Therese.
Great, thank you.
Appreciate it very much. And let's go to Mike in Heartland. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
My question is this. I was able to trace my grandmother's side back quite far, but my issue is my grandfather, I guess, is supposedly 100% Native American. Mm. And now there's rumor in the family that we are in some way related to Jim Thorpe. We share his last name and such. And I've been trying to research that to find out if that's true. Is there any good place I can go to research more of the Native American?
You said it's your grandfather or great-grandfather?
My grandfather is Native American, and every information I get stops at him. I cannot find anything else online about him.
Anything more specific than just Native American?
Ojibwe or...
Tribe?
What tribe?
No, I mean, I guess I could have to find that information out. I was told he was kind of a mix of, like, two or three of them in this area.
And what time period did he live?
Well, he passed away in, like, 1973. I believe.
And born around 1819, what?
Probably 19 or 1899, 1902, somewhere around there.
Did he ever live on a reservation?
Not sure.
Okay.
Like that whole side of my family we have not had contact with.
Okay. Well, something that, whether contact is broken down in a family or not, the paper trail's still out there. So basically...
This is recent enough.
It is. And with something that's recent like that, I would say one of the first things you should do is look at the censuses for your grandfather. They're done every 10 years as of 1790. And they still do them. Now, what's available to the public is from 1790 to 1940. But right there, you have about four censuses that could give you some details about him. Also, his birth, marriage, and death records, because those records have a chance of giving a little bit more detail. And then obituaries. Do you have a copy of his obituary?
No.
Okay, so those three types of records is what I always tell people when you're starting on a new person in the family. Do these three types of records first, because they give you some core information that will help you to identify how they may fit into the bigger paper trail of land records or military or immigration or any of these other types of records.
All right.
So as far as getting on censuses, by the way, those are available to search on Ancestry.com. You can actually have access to Ancestry Library Edition at a lot of public libraries. If you have a hard time finding people in these censuses, email us, because we have a lot of tricks and strategies that we use and can help people identify where family members are that they can't locate.
Yeah, we might have to do that because my cousin has been working at it quite a bit lately, and he's got, like I said, my grandmother's side, he's got down.
Right, so it's your grandpa's.
Can't find anything for my grandfather.
Well, yeah. he left a paper trail, and we can help you find that.
All right, that'd be great.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thank you for calling. And Leah in Green Bay, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
I want to put in a plug for the family stories that should go along with the genealogy, because 100 years from now, your great-grandchildren, their eyes will glaze over when they read the genealogy, but they have some stories to go with it about the people. And even, I mean, I admire people who do genealogical research, but I think it's important to get the human interest in it. And you could even if you can't interview people from long ago, you could read a little bit of history and say the people at this time live this way.
That's correct. That's exactly right. And you know what? Is usually when I tell people, when you're doing genealogy, you're gathering those names, dates, and places. When you're doing family history, you're doing the whole search.
Right.
You're doing stories. You're doing stories from today. You're doing stories from the past.
Right.
One of the
I'd like to put in a little plug for the Association of Personal Historians, which is actually an international group of people who help people write their memoirs. And it's under www.personalhistorians.org. And they have a listing of people around the world who would help with these family stories and help people produce a memoir or a book.
Which almost.
I am actually a member of that. But the main point I want to say is don't leave out those juicy stories.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. That's definitely as important as putting together the names, dates, and places.
Right.
It means nothing otherwise. You know, like you said, it's kind of boring reading all the names, dates, and places without
something. Well, even though you can take pride in having been a detective and traced back, which I think a lot of genealogists do. So
yes.
I admire that.
Oh, yes, they definitely do. You know, one thing that we do at Historical is that we provide these workshops. We've just recently started doing webinars as well. And one of the webinars we're going to be holding is on March 23rd. It's on a Saturday. There's going to be organizing family history projects and events, which really pulls in what you were saying. There's a lot of different ways to share these stories.
Right.
So it pulls in a lot of ideas.
Good. Well, maybe you could check with our Wisconsin members and see if anyone wants to help out with that.
I would love to, to cross market and help each other out as organizations with the same goal.
Okay, good. Well, someone will be in touch with you.
I know about your organization already, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's good.
Thanks, Leah.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. We have Peg in Rice Lake next. Hi, Peg.
Hi there. I just want to urge people to look into their family histories because it is it brings the whole nation. It can bring the whole nation to life. I was always a reader, but I wasn't really particularly into history until I started tracking my father's family from Scotland. And they must have come over here, or he must have, my great-great-grandfather, in about 1780-something. And they followed the whole development of this country from North Carolina to the northern part of North Carolina to Indiana to Iowa, and my direct ancestors ended up in Nebraska and probably went through that terrible grasshopper plague and drought.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely enthralling.
Your ancestor wasn't named Duncan McPherson, was it?
It
was?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I have a Duncan McPherson who did the same thing.
Oh, I am so glad to meet you. Don't get away.
No, I definitely want to be in contact with you, too. If you had email or if you have a piece of paper, I'll give you our phone number for the reference desk.
I sure will. Ouch. I am crippled up with Lyme disease.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, sorry.
7 years and I can hardly write, so I have to take a little more time than I'd like.
Right.
Okay, what do you want now first? Do you give me something?
I'll give you our phone number, okay? It's a reference desk phone number that anybody can use. It's 608.
That's by Madison?
Yes, that's in Madison.
Okay.
And then 264.
264.
6535.
6535.
Right.
This is amazing.
That is amazing. That's wonderful. Oh,
I've been searching for 50 years at least, and I never ran into somebody who said, oh, I have one.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's great.
Did he have a brother named Randall?
Yes. Randall is who I come from.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. No, not his son, but his brother.
No, I think... No, I think he did. All of that is kind of questionable. But, yeah, I would love to be in communication with you. That's wonderful.
And Judith's got Peg's number, too.
Good. So that's amazing. That's why, you know, like she said, it brings the world together. You really do find connections like that more often than you would think.
Oh, Peg, thank you again. I very much appreciate it.
I do, too.
I'm sure. Lori does as well. Paula and Shano, hi.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for letting me question your guest in regards to searching for my biological family on my grandfather's side.
Okay.
There's no records of when he was born or where he was born. He was adopted by a family from France in 1905, and he shows up on the 1910 census as their family and being 5 years old. I do have two birth dates. One in June and one in July of 1900, based on some paperwork that I have found for him. And I understand that's quite common because everything was transcripted from handwriting, so it could have been an error either June or July.
Right.
And I cannot find where I've been looking for probably over 10 years trying to find where he's from. The last I know, and I'm pretty sure of this, is that where he was adopted was from the Bethany Indian Mission and School in Wittenberg, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
And there are no records available. I went to the Lutheran church that has the remainder of the records, was not able to find anything from there. However, I was looking for his name from his family, his adoptive family. I do not know his real name. I don't know if it was Joseph, the first name, or if there was a different given name or anything. I've hit a brick wall. Everywhere I've looked, I've tried to backtrack because he did get married and they had some children that had went up to the home for the feeble-minded.
Okay.
I wasn't able to get anything from there yet. I have not made the trip there. They're open on Tuesdays to look through the records because I do work during the day. But anyway, I applied for adoption paperwork through the state, through my mother, his child, mm-hmm. and the state has nothing on file.
Oh, boy.
I don't know where to go anymore. And I'm on Ancestry.com. Haven't been able to find anything from that either.
Ancestry.com wouldn't necessarily have things like courthouse records or vital records from Wisconsin for that time period. I'm trying to think of the other parts of the paper trail, but you know, I would still suggest that everything that you just described, to put it in an email so that, you know, when you run across these cases, it's awfully hard to come up with a quick answer.
Yeah.
I definitely would like to be able to talk it over with some colleagues at Historical.
Okay.
And just get some ideas about, you know, other types of paper trail there may be. It sounds like you've done an extensive search on this person.
I have, and I've even applied at UWGB has an ancestry search thing that you can send in for. I've sent that. I have not heard back from them.
Okay.
And I've also went some other avenues as far as the church that buried him, mm-hmm. the funeral director that buried him, they claim they have no records of mm-hmm. him at all. So, you know, it's like, well, he just couldn't have appeared.
No, yeah, that's the thing. Is a lot of these people who look like they disappeared, they just didn't. It's just where's the paper trail? But yeah, I would say when you email, like I said, put it in a timeline kind of fashion, and then also make sure you include the institutions you have contacted before.
Okay.
That would be helpful.
So at asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org?
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And a Facebook comment from Greg, who said it'd be good to point out that the Latter-day Saints website, FamilySearch.org, is not only for families who have Mormon affiliations. It's for actually anybody.
It is. You know what? As I teach a three-hour class on that as well, and most likely the one on Ancestry and the one on Family Search will fall again in the autumn time. But with Family Search, there's so many levels or sections to these websites. With Family Search, there's a portion that has trees that people have submitted, and they're not just people who are related to the Mormon faith. There is a catalog to show all of the things that they've ever filmed. Their collection is beyond anybody else as far as what materials they have. They have gone internationally and filmed church records, civil records, collections from all over the place, from all kinds of institutions. And then they have digitized quite a few of these collections as well. So there's a digital collection there, too. So it's very deep.
Larry in Sturgeon Bay. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for having me. I wanted to comment on a couple points there that have went by this morning. And this is mostly on the Native American stuff. I'm a member of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohicans, and we came from New York and had a lot of interaction with the Dutch. And a lot of that's been glossed over because when the Americans took over the colonies, then the history went to the British, and they didn't take care of that very well.
It's true.
And we've traced our family tree back to 1750 in Connecticut, but that comes from land deals. You're not going to find a lot of birth certificates for Native Americans, even into the 1960s. And a lot of my cousins and two different families were routinely, children were whisked away and just scattered to the wind. And that's part of our tragedy, that we try to impress people why we have such a hard time gripping and coming to sorts with America, is that this stuff is, some of it's only 40 years old, and people are still looking for their brothers and sisters. So rather than look for birth records where most of these people are born at home at the time, you're better off looking on allotments, the Dawes Act, when they took all the land away and split it up, then people got that. And a hint for the Jim Thorpe deal was he went to Carlisle, and he came from the Oklahoma area, and some of our uncles went to school with him in Carlisle.
Ah, okay.
So there's other alternate ways to kind of look, you know.
Well, I think, you know, the gentleman,
as far as thinking about it being on court records or birth certificates or adoption, ain't happening.
Okay. You know what is, I think the previous person had said that he was looking at 20th century. It was his grandfather. And so as you go back farther, definitely your whole example of going back into the 1800s, yes, the paper trail becomes thinner and thinner. Yeah. But it is a reason why that when we are able to help a person find out what tribe, we always direct people to the tribal historians, the groups that are documenting as much as they can because they specialize in it. So that's, we try and make those connections.
Joni in Elm Grove, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. I'm trying to locate where my great-grandmother came from in Denmark. I have her obituary, death certificate, marriage certificate. I've got the census records. And, of course, the country, they just name date of place of birth as Denmark and nothing more than that. So I'm wondering where else I can go.
Did she come as a child?
She came, oh gosh, I have the year that she came. I believe it was 1882. And I also went on, the Danes have an emigration website, mm-hmm. and that's how I was able to track down where her husband came from in Denmark.
Okay.
And I fooled around with her. Her name was Cicely, so, and I've got a couple of different spellings. I've plugged both those into their website, but to no avail. I been successful.
Did she have siblings?
I don't know.
Okay.
That I don't know.
Okay. So, like I said, did she come as a child?
Well, no.
That part we don't know it yet.
Yeah.
Well, what I would say in this circumstance, I would say it's important for you to send that email to us as well, documenting what you already have looked at so that we can brainstorm and find other records that may tell you more. In my own situation, my father-in-law's family, we went all the way back to the initial immigrant, and there was nothing in that excuse me, direct paper trail. And so basically we had to go off on a sibling's line of their paper trail to be able to find where in Germany.
Very interesting. Joni, I thank you so much for calling. Again, if you didn't get everything down, go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We've got a link to the Wisconsin Historical Society, the Genealogy Center. Judy and Racine, I want to get you on for a quick comment. Hi, Judy.
Hi. When you talked about bringing the world together, it reminded me of what happened after my husband died. About a month later, I got a phone call from a woman in Minnesota who was helping a woman in Norway do her genealogy work. And it turned out that my husband, one of his relatives, was a missing link to this person in Norway. And I no more hung up with the woman in Minnesota, and I got a call from Norway saying how excited she was to have found out about my husband.
Oh, what a cool story.
That is really cool.
I felt so bad he wasn't here to take the call.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Oh, but great that you were there and able to take the call. Those are great stories today, including your own relatives.
Our own connection, that's right.
connections. Lori, this has been a lot of fun. I know you've got workshops and all coming up. They're listed on your website. Go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can click right onto the Historical Society and get that information. By the way, like it while you're there. We're 24 likes away from 5,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we have 5,000 once we get 24 more people to like the page. So we want that to happen too. Lori, again, thank you so much.
No problem at all. Thanks for the opportunity.
You'll be back, won't you?
Oh, I hope.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so, too.
That would be great.
Lori Vessler, reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. She teaches genealogy workshops, so, you know, go online, take a look at what she's doing there. It helps a lot of people put together their family histories, and some of these webinars are kind of a great way to go. You don't even have to leave your home. And you can learn a lot from Lori right in the confines of your own home. Well, we've talked about family history and how to research it. Coming up next, we'll talk about something that may be a part of our family's medical history, Parkinson's disease. It affects a million people here in the U.S. Maybe you have, maybe you are affected with it or have a loved one living with Parkinson's. We'll find out what help is available next. Here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.